It's week four of lockdown, we think, maybe. Time has lost all meaning. I've apparently given up washing my hair, and last night I drank a bottle of plum wine that's been gathering dust on a shelf in my flat for 4 years. And yet, the news keeps rolling on. There's a new virologist in town. We wonder if we should all be signing up for the new Corona app. When or if it arrives. And most importantly, we wonder how the drug dealers of Berlin are responding to this crisis. Happy Passover, happy Easter, happy non-religious Feiertage to you all. Everybody, welcome to another episode of Megan's Megacan. This is our fourth, we think, episode in lockdown. We're here in partnership with Ex Berliner, and I'm here in partnership with Konrad Werner.
Hello.
How are you? Hi. How's it going?
Good. I think it's going. Happy Easter, first of all.
Thank you. Happy Easter. I'm sorry that I made you stop eating the eggs that you were eating earlier because they were so loud.
I made a lot of noise with my eggs. Yeah, I went to the supermarket earlier today and bought some eggs that are only for me because I am not allowed to see anyone else because I'm in lockdown. I may hide them later around my apartment, and because
and then
I
get absolutely trashed, so you forget where you've put them.
Yeah, and then tomorrow I'll try and find them all. I'll just drink myself into a stupor and try and remember where they all are. And that'll be my Easter. That'll be my way to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus.
Apart from... Is Easter cancelled, sort of, mainly?
Well...
Does it mean he just stays in there? Until next year? Postponed? Until August, as most things seem to be?
He'll hibernate in there.
And after lockdown, he rose again. Yeah. Okay, shall we have some booze?
Yes.
Yes, please.
What are you having?
I'm having a Jack Daniels and ginger because I missed it. It would sort of make me feel like we were together.
Oh, that's nice.
When we're together, you take the whatever delicious thing in ginger it is, and I'm left with disgusting rum.
Well, it's funny you should say that because I decided to go for something totally different than I normally have, which is a Bacardi Oak Heart. I just kind of...
Ooh, I've had one of those before, and I can't remember whether I... Like, I'm feeling a very strong emotion about it, and so I can't remember whether I liked it, like, a lot, or I was repulsed by it. But I guess we'll see.
Well, there's only one way to find out. I mean, it's a Bacardi Oak Heart and Cola. So I guess it's a certain kind of Bacardi. Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, Jesus. A bit fizzy.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's delicious.
I mean, mine, it's great too. It's been aged in a barrel for 30 years, this.
Oh, God.
In an oaken barrel.
I feel like I've been aged in a barrel.
It hasn't really. Yeah. It's also, fittingly, Bacardi's logo, as you might know, is a bat, which is now a very special animal that we have a whole new relationship with as human beings.
We do. Are we certain it came from bats?
We're pretty certain, yeah. I mean, bats or pangolins. Or the bat gave it to the pangolin first, or was it the pangolin gave it to the bat? It was one or the other. And then someone ate one.
I did see a meme, and it was like, something like, if you were trying to explain this, like explain 2020 to somebody, it sounds like a story that a four-year-old has written. Like, it just, dear Lord. Anyway.
Yeah.
What's been happening in the news? I don't know anything. I've just been doing Lord of the Rings.
Okay. Well, I'll fill you in then. I'm afraid to tell you, Megan, that there's a new virologist in town. I know that you're a big fan. You know that you're a big fan of Christian Drosten.
As I tilt my screen down, bet he's not the virologist that I have on my chest or my t-shirt.
No, it's not him.
The new virologist in town. Who is this upstart, this usurper? He's dressed in borrowed robes. Shyster.
He's called Hendrik Streeck. Hendrik Streeck. And he is the head virologist of the University of Bonn Hospital. And he has been also giving interviews, although he hasn't got his own podcast yet. But he's doing media interviews. And he's muscling in on Christian Drosten's pad. Pad, is that the right word? That is the place where he lives.
No.
Turf. Turf. Yeah, okay. And it's turf. And so there's like a lot of that going on. And Streeck boasts that he has seen more coronavirus patients than any virologist in Germany. That's what he has claimed in an interview. He said, "I've spoken personally to more patients than Drosten or any of them."
Well, that's fine. I mean, I'm looking at pictures of him now. I mean, I'm not jumping ship from Team Drosten anytime soon, but that's good. So why has he seen like so many? So what's happening? What's Drosten saying to this?
Well, Drosten being Drosten, he says that is fine. I am not in a competition with anyone. I am just trying to offer the information that I have in my mind. That is what Drosten says. But Streeck, he is famous. He was already a little bit famous a few weeks ago because he started a citywide experiment in a place called Heinsberg, which is in the west of Germany, very close to the Dutch border. And that place was chosen because more people were infected there with the coronavirus than anywhere else in Germany. It was known as Germany's Wuhan by the media. the media like to say, make things up like that.
Absolutely shut job at the moment. But anyway.
So,
what's the deal with Heinsberg then?
So they're going to, it's basically into that they created this giant laboratory there and had got 1,000 people to volunteer, and they followed them around everywhere they went and tried to figure out how this virus is spreading around and who gets it and all this other stuff. And the point of it is, and Streeck said he can't believe that other countries aren't doing this experiment, because the point of it is to like try and figure out to what extent we could maybe loosen the restrictions on daily life.
Yeah.
Like, what are the high risk things that you can do outside? What are the low risk things that you can do outside? So they kind of came up with this sort of plan. And he's also like trying to figure out what symptoms there are. Maybe there are some unrecognized symptoms, and whether kids can get it. On Thursday, Streeck gave a press conference with his preliminary findings. Would you like to hear some of his preliminary findings?
Yes, please.
So he says the herd immunity is not, is perhaps not that going to work because it isn't infected as widely as would be necessary for herd immunity to kick in. So herd immunity, you need to get like 60% to 70% of the population to get it. And that hasn't happened. So only about 15% got it in this area. And one thing that is, and based on his findings also, only the death rate was only at 0.37%, which is much lower than anywhere else has been found, which suggests that a lot more people are, like a lot more people are more likely to recover. Apparently, in Germany, according to the Johns Hopkins Institute, the German death rate is at nearly 2%, and in Gangelt, which is this region around Heinsberg, it was just 0.37%. And he reckons that his preliminary findings means that as long as people stick to the 2 meter rule and wash their hands and don't cough at each other, we should really soon be able to go back to normal life.
Well, that sounds good.
Also, he said that children have hardly any symptoms. Like, they can carry it, but they never get ill, which has sort of been known before. And things like whether we need to like keep schools closed or not, that kind of thing they're trying to figure out. And it was sort of like a little bit positive, his findings. And then Drosten came along later in the day, and he said, "Yes, but all this is just a preliminary thing, and I haven't seen any papers at all. I haven't seen any scientific papers proving this one way or another." And everyone made that into a big spat between the two of them, which it wasn't really.
The media came in and did a really great job of just reporting the facts, having a level of professional integrity. Brilliant. Okay, but so we're gonna watch Heinsberg,
We're gonna
cautiously
watch.
optimistic.
It's cautiously optimistic, yeah.
Yeah,
Based on the
because
preliminary results. Because,
okay.
yeah. I mean, the thing about it is, it's like they're not just investigating the environment, but also like what we need to do, like our behavior, like how to control it and yet still live fairly normal lives, you know?
Yes, because another thing, because there's a lot of talking at the moment, like about the kind of lockdown and how long we're going to have to keep going with this and when we can reduce the restrictions. And I think we're all interested in that. I was like, oh, I'm fine. I'm absolutely grand with the lockdown and I'm coping really well. And then a sad song came on the radio today and I had to sit down in my kitchen and cry for no reason. So I think we're all interested in like an end to this. And another one of these things that seems to be talked about is this idea of an app. And we kind of talked about it either last week or the week before. What about this app? What's happening there?
Well, Drosten's been all over this app thing, isn't he? He loves it.
He's mad for the app.
He thinks we should all get it. Oh, the problem with it is that no one has invented one yet. They're just starting, and no one's actually made one.
But they make apps quite. I'm about to say something like I literally have no idea.
It takes about 3 weeks to make an app.
So this is an app that would monitor kind of people's, from what I understand, like if you think you've got it and you say, right, I'm going to go have a test. And all of this is kind of done through not the testing through the app, but it's all kind of monitored in there. And then this sort of important bit is if you do then have it, they can work out from this app and GPS and things that I don't understand which people, i.e., like which phones you've been in like danger zone contact with.
Right. Using
And then
Bluetooth
get
technology.
the message.
And it's supposed to be anonymous.
Yes. This is the other massive issue with it is like the Datenschutz, like the data protection thing, because where this has worked really successfully before in other countries, they're basically just like everyone has to get this app and we're gonna like follow you around with
Perfect.
it. From what I understand, there's been a lot less kind of like anonymity and they're not really supposed to be able to like track us then, I don't think. It's more just like you work out whose phones you've been in contact with and then they're contacted and it's all anonymous and la 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 la.
Right.
But I can imagine a lot of people are going, what?
Yeah. It would be quite difficult for the government to make a law saying everyone has to get this app. There are kind of a big issues with that.
No, and so they're hoping they're going to on like a voluntary basis, aren't they?
Well, it has to be a voluntary basis. There's like no other way of doing it really legally, I think. But then, it's supposed to be good. I don't know. Like, if Drosten says it, that's what everyone. It's probably a good idea because then you can follow everyone around, and then you know. The point is, it'd be quicker than doing the normal contact tracing.
Yes, and I think kind of the because they had on the last Drosten podcast, and they were talking, and they had another man on from Humboldt, and also Robert Koch Institute. I don't know exactly what he does, and obviously I've forgotten his name. But he and Drosten were very into it. And sort of the underlying thing that I was getting, the underlying message, they didn't say it, but they're basically like, if you want out lockdown, we need people on this app.
Yeah.
We need people to volunteer on the app.
Yeah.
You're going to have lockdown with like complete Datenschutz and no apps on your phone telling you where you've been. Or you can be on the app out of lockdown.
Yeah. And then they would have, and then we would have like temporary lockdowns when there was an outbreak somewhere. That's the idea, wasn't it? So that if there was going to be an outbreak in a little town somewhere, that town would get a lockdown for a week, and then they would be able to control it, and that would be like a way of like restarting a normal society, and yet still living with the coronavirus, and this is the most effective way, according to Drosten, and he's right about everything.
Let's hope so, because I'm going to look like a fool because I've got a t-shirt with a face on it.
Yeah.
If he turns out to be just a complete charlatan, and Germany ends up like being the, as opposed to what we are now, is being held up as this example of how to deal with it. And like literally underneath his face on my t-shirt, it's got the word hope in capital letters. I'm going to look like a right tit.
Yeah.
If he's wrong. But yeah, would you, I mean, obviously I would probably sign up and get the app because
I think
probably owned by Google anyway, and now I've got Zoom, so everybody owns me. That's fine.
Would I get it? Yeah. I probably would. In the interests of public health, I probably would get it, yeah. Apparently, did you hear, apparently a lot of people are already getting people who have the sort of health software on their phones.
Yeah.
Those people who are into health, you know, those people,
they've got horrible watches. I know this because my friend who I go on holiday with, really good friend from primary school, and she's got one, and just occasionally she just gets a message on it with it just telling her to move. We're on holiday just sitting around drinking wine and eating cheese because that's what we do, and she's like, oh, got a message, oh no, just my Fitbit telling me to move. I'd be like, I would fucking smash that with the rock.
But those people, and there are 10 million of them in Germany who have devices like that, have all signed up, like a huge number of them have signed up to help out with the coronavirus. But they're all the healthy people anyway. They're not going to get it. That's not going to work. It has to be all...
It's nice that they volunteer, you know?
Yeah.
Lots of people are volunteering for things.
Right.
Okay, so that's how we might sort of, like...
Like, meet each other.
Yeah, ourselves out of lockdown.
Yeah. It's a better idea than the antibody test with an armband. Have you heard of that? You get an antibody test and then you get a green armband. If you've got enough antibodies.
Absolutely. That's ridiculous. I'm not wearing a fucking armband.
Oh, well, you say that now. This is going to be recorded. Probably in 2 weeks' time, you'll be like, I've got my armband. Thank God for that.
I'll be sitting here with a picture of Hendrik Streeck's face on my t-shirt. I've got a green armband. I'll be zooming from Heinsberg. Yeah. God knows. That's okay. Well, I don't like the idea of a green armband. That just seems very, I mean, this is all super dystopian, but that seems dystopian to me, like where you wear or not. Like, no, it's Germany. We don't put signs on people.
Yeah, no. Armbands have got a bad,
Nope.
Anyway, it's not going to work anyway because the antibody tests aren't reliable.
Yeah, and they also take quite a long time.
We're just doing a drunken version of Drosten's podcast now. I'm just repeating things that he...
I don't think is actually a bad thing because as someone who is obviously like a bit of a Drosten fangirl and who kind of tries to listen to his podcast every day, it struck me the other day because this guest was on and he made something approaching a joke and then chuckled to himself. And I was so startled by this occurrence that I just was like, oh my God. And I realized I've been listening to a scientific, really detailed podcast for half an hour to 40 minutes every day in German. And there's no jokes, like literally none.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're providing a good service here. Drosten with jokes and booze.
Yeah.
It would make me so happy to get him on and like give him a mega can
and
ask him some questions. Can you imagine? That would be fun. Like if we could somehow make that happen because he's so like calm and unflappable, but I'm not sure that even Christian Drosten could sit through like a drunken interrogation from a Northern Irish woman wearing a picture of his face across her breast. While she has to drink a mega can. Okay.
How long will he cope? What's next in the news?
I don't know.
We'll preserve that image for a while.
Like how we might get out of lockdown.
Yeah.
What's happening in lockdown? Any news?
Oh. People are taking.
You got anything like in our spirits?
People are stockpiling drugs, apparently. In Berlin.
In Berlin. This does not surprise me.
According to the Financial Times newspaper, which is obviously a massive authority on everything that happens in Berlin.
Authority on the counterculture of Berlin, I can imagine. But please continue.
The drug dealers have never had it so good, and they're making up to five times as much as they normally make. This is based on a report that I read the other day, in which the reporter went to Görlitzer Park and interviewed various drug dealers. Who were wearing plastic gloves.
I wish some people would tell me when things like this are happening, like when the Financial Times journalist is going down to Görlitzer Park to talk to some of the dealers so that I could just like hide out in the bushes and what.
It says here that Berlin's dealers who once sold cannabis for 10 euros a gram can now charge 15 to 30 euros.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's verifiable.
And not only that...
Verify it for me.
And not only that, there are secret raves going on in Berlin because the people of Berlin can't go a few weeks without getting off their faces. And according to the Financial Times, there is a massive underground secret party scene going on. Fueled by hedonism.
Fueled by hedonism? Jesus.
For Berliners in the know, I'm quoting now, an underground scene continues to rage, replete with full bars, lighting, and DJ sets. The raves...
Lighting and DJs? Jesus.
The raves are held in warehouses and remote apartments, dealers say, with the events coordinated via secret chat groups that alert people of the time and place the night before. Prepaid tickets can cost up to 100 euros each. Special lookouts are hired to watch out for police.
Oh, no. That poor journalist. What has the response been to this?
I think the people of Berlin are delighted, judging by the social media reaction, because they did not realize this was happening.
There's a lot to unpack.
But it could be that these drug dealers were not being complete with the truth there, and given their jobs.
I would say that there's a fair amount of taking the extracting the Michael, as we used to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh dear. Oh God, lover. Yeah, but also there's like, I mean, I think I and it's sort of beyond the scope of maybe what I know, but I'm quite interested in how that side of Berlin is, like the sort of drug dealing side, and maybe it is, maybe they are able to raise their prices because presumably, like, the borders are shut, they're going to run out.
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen it in films. They have like little private planes, and they throw the drugs into a field in Florida.
You think they're going to have to do like the Berlin airlift for us again?
Yeah, they'll fly little private planes over and drop packets of drugs in Tempelhof.
Oh, Berlin, surely we're not. But I think this is like, you know, and I know it's the Financial Times and I know it's ridiculous, but still, like, you still have to do like a fairly decent job. And I think there's a lot to unpack there in terms of kind of like conflating criminal capitalization on like a terrible situation with kind of club culture and what that is, and that kind of like fueled by hedonism thing. And I think it really, like, I'm a bit outraged on behalf of like the Berlin club scene, which, if you knew how infrequently I go to clubs, which you probably do, like, for me to be a representative is hilarious. But I do know that, like, the big clubs, like Berghain was one of the first businesses to say, like, no, we're shutting down, we can't, you know, we want to be responsible. There's like so much stuff happening online with like streaming and like people like creating whole kind of nightclub experiences that you can log into, where you get asked questions. Did you see this?
No, of course I haven't done this. What does it involve?
So there's like this thing recently, I think it wasn't United We Stream, I think it was another one. Like, there's so many cool things happening, but they did this whole like 48 hours club night like about 2 weeks ago. And you had to like log into the website at a certain time, and then there was like questions would flash up on the screen, which were kind of like cookies related, but they're also just like, have you been here before? Do you know the DJ that's playing? Which are obviously questions that you get asked if you're trying to get into a club in Berlin.
All right.
What I'm saying is there's so much work going on there to try and keep clubs, which are like super vulnerable at this time and are really taking a massive hit, and lots of them will not survive in a scene that is already, like, even before like COVID-19, we saw like Griesmüller's gone, Kit Kat is kind of, you know, it's already really precarious. And then for some numpty in the FT, and maybe she's right, but I'm willing to state my, like, that there's, you know, like, what Berliner is ever going to pay €100 to get into a club?
Well, maybe they tried to sell her a ticket. That's maybe she got the price.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they're like...
That's hilarious. There's so much of this story that I just really want. It sounds like I want to make a film about this exchange. Like, it... Like this person trying to get this story on Berlin club life when you work for the Financial Times.
I know.
Yeah.
But they love that. I mean, I can easily see how she got that printed because British newspapers love that shit.
And everyone, like, Berlin is this kind of like seedy whatever, but it's just this like constant misunderstanding of, and a willful misunderstanding of what, like, club culture is and what it stands for, and people seeing it as this just kind of like ridiculously hedonistic kind of thing, and not realizing that it's something that is valid and really important culturally and should be protected. Berlin does a better job of it than a lot of other cities, but it's still like,
yeah,
you shouldn't have let Griesmuller go. I didn't like Griesmuller that much, but it's not going to be like apartments or some nonsense.
I don't know.
I mean, we also need apartments. We have a housing crisis.
Cheap. But no one want to live there because no one want to live there because there's no club there to live near.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh gosh, I'm drunk.
Yeah, I think we've done enough now. We've done our three stories. We've done really well.
Brilliant. We've done well.
That's done excellent. Really well.
Stop doing this immediately after a workout because I am.
And since you have agreed to do the editing, I think you will thank me for wrapping it up when you start editing this.
Okay.
Just saying that you will, and you'll be glad. I predict you'll be glad that you have a shorter amount of stuff to edit.
Okay, good. That's making me slightly nervous, but fine. Okay, well, then I just... happy Easter to everybody. Stay safe. Keep checking out. You can do... Like, the Ex-Berliner is doing, like, daily updates, aren't they? On lockdown fun times. And also fun stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, there's plenty of things you can still do. There's all kinds of shows that are going on online. Check out Ex-Berliner sites of details of what shows are on, and have a safe holiday weekend.
Yes, and happy Easter to you, Conrad. You can go back to eating your massively loud eggs.
Thank you. Thanks. I shall have a lovely evening. Bye.